It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. I turn it down a little bit. Come on, Ernie. I thought I had it checked. All right, what we're going to do today, very special day. We have Jordan Page on. We're going to yak at a lot of his projects and what he's been doing. He just had a mini concert in his front yard. In his front yard up here in northeastern Washington. And I think her name, Michelle Rivers, is that right? Did I say your name right, Jordan?
That's correct, Michelle. Okay. Rivers. MichelleRiversMusic.com.
Michelle Rivers gave a little concert and promoting her new album and so on. And, you know, a lot of people from up here went and they're just hanging Jordan. And the Pages, Mary and all the kids and so on. He has a beautiful home, nice little farm, you know, up here. I don't know, you be a farming yet? Are you got the tractor out there, Jordan? What's up?
Well, I'll have you know that my tractor is very sexy, Ernie, and I use it quite often.
I knew you were very proud of that tractor when you got it. You know, this, well, it came with the land, you know, and it's, you know, it's nice to have it. You know what the replacement for a tractor is? Trick question. There is no replacement for a tractor. I mean, you got to have a tractor, you're on a farm. So we got the visit with him over the last few years. He's lived there, and he and his family, you know, refurbing it, and they have a very big two-story, oh my god, you know, super garage or barn or whatever it is that he's converting into an educational facility. We'll talk about that. But some of the visitors up here, like Lawrence Driggs from Autonomy, he was up here. He'll be back up here maybe tonight, you know, certainly by the weekend. He's coming up here to work. And he got to go, and then he knows Jordan. He got to go and visit and see a concert. And some of the other guys, you know, here have been like, I go, no, watch this. Because I didn't know Jordan was going to play. And so after Michelle Rivers entertained us, he's like, you know, breaking out his goodies and rocking the forest, you know. So this is, it was a good addition. Lawrence stayed another few days just to go to that party, you know, to be able to see you. We planned he was going to be gone a few days before. So we got the visit with Jordan a little bit, but one of the things that I wanted to do, and we just had, you know, we've been so busy all summer, and I wanted to get Jordan on to tell all his stories with each song. Because when he does in concert, okay, I wrote this song because and why and the circumstances and context of, and this have fascinating stories. And I'd love to have an album of all of his songs with a story, you know, so hopefully we'll do that project someday. But what we're going to do today is I wanted to hear about Firefly Education Network. Now, Mary, Jordan's wife, beautiful woman that is great. I'd want to have that as my teacher. I have a crush on Mary. All right. So Mary comes, you know.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, certainly as a 7, 8, 10-year-old kid, you know. But the, she is taking the family farm, and with Jordan, they have a homeschool curriculum, private network. We're going to find out every little old thing. Plus, Jordan is building the recording studio. In there, he's going, and this little bitty living space is mine, you know. Got a little workshop over here, got a studio over here, do his own recordings. Because that's the one thing you got to go, it's a big, giant deal, go into a recording studio, and it's a pain in the butt. But what happens if you got your own? You got the skills of Jordan, Well, we'll see where that goes. Plus, he's got, you know, consulting on a lot of things that he's been involved with over the years, and he can help people. So what do we talk about first, Jordan? I really want to – let's do the Firefly thing because I want to make sure we got time for everything on that. Tell us the concept, why you call it Firefly, you know, me asking knowingly, and then, you know, how people around the planet can take advantage of it and what you have to offer. So Firefly me, man, go.
Okay, so Firefly was my wife's original concept. She went and got her teaching degree. She actually got her master's in education in about a year and a half. Just a couple of years ago, because we've been homeschooling all of our kids. We have seven children, as you said, and we've been homeschooling for about 10 years since my oldest Johnny was about four, and he's 14 now. And it has been a very interesting road, and we didn't have a lot of help. We just kind of had to figure it out as we went. And my wife found that she just had a natural gifting for teaching. And she was encouraged by a friend of ours who is a licensed teacher, who has since passed on, to go back and get her teaching degree, and just in case that the microscope of the state were ever to come down on our family, as far as our homeschooling goes here in Washington. You know, in Washington, you're supposed to, according to the laws, you're supposed to have a licensed teacher overseeing your curriculum in some way, and you know, so. We needed to have that. A lot of our friends needed to have that. You know, and so she went and got her degree. And during the process of getting her degree, she was incredibly disturbed by by what they are teaching young teachers. The critical race theory thing is real. It is being taught, you know, by the state to young teachers. They are teaching a lot of statist nonsense that is just plain not so, and absolutely, like you said, indoctrinating all of these, you know, young adults who are now going to indoctrinate, you know, tens of millions of kids a year. And it was very, very sad. And you know, a lot of times she's been on this journey with me all these years, so she knows what the truth is. She knows what's really going on, but just had to kind of grin and bear it to get through the program, to be able to get through it and get her degree so that she could accomplish what she needed to do.
Well, let's talk about that a second. You know, you put yourself through that to meet some criteria. I mean, you know, you have seven kids, you know, and the oldest is only 14.
Johnny will be 15, yeah, in December. But yeah, he's 14.
That's a big kid, man. He's starting to, you know, damn.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, you know, I know when my two sons started getting about 17, you know, they gang up. I'm done, man. I had to negotiate. But the art of negotiation, not getting the crap beat out of you by your big boys. Anyway, so this is a interesting perspective to where you have seven children you wish to keep out of the clutches of the state. You have a wife that, you know, in a year and a half, couple of years, you know, get her master's degree, and I'm a teacher, and I've gotten, you know, in your face. But by doing that, you think you're protecting yourself from, and this you have to have under supervision of a certified whatever the heck. I didn't know that, you know, whatever, you know, how that developed and is manifested in the real world. I have no idea. But, you know, certainly you're heavily invested in having seven children and wanting to be, you know, leave me alone-ism. But when you go through this process and she qualifies for something, what does she qualify for? What did, you know, you go through all of this stuff, you get the grade, all of a sudden, poof, you got a sword on the shoulder and you're knighted to what? You know, be in the state's clutch. Now you got, you know, some kind of allegiance to the state. How does this work, and how does it manifest in what you're doing, or even schooling your children, or friends' children, or community children, and so on? What is it that certification gave you? Why was it important to do it? What was the threat?
It was a safety net. Is why she really did it. because again, like the laws in each state in for homeschooling are different. They vary in lots of different degrees. And in Washington, where we are, you like the law is, you know, I mean, you're the person that taught me many years ago that we're living on a great big plantation,
right?
And that we're all the livestock on this plantation. Okay. I am a leave me aloneist, absolutely. We're living as free and remote as possible.
Yeah, hold on. No, you buffered there for a second. I'm sorry. Living as free and remote as possible. What?
Oh, sorry. We're living as free and remote as possible and as self-sufficiently as possible. But there's just realities. Like, that's just the grown-up reality. Like, the state exists, and you know, we're trying to avoid them at all costs.
Well, but how does this help others? You know, they wish to avoid, and now, all right, well, we're going to go with the state's liaison of Mary, got the certification of whatever, and manifest in what way? You know, are you requiring, you know, vaccines, masks? They have to, you know, pledge allegiance? I mean, you know,
that was the point of doing it, was to provide an environment for all of the homeschool kids in our area to not have to have that. Because there's a program up here where the kids can be enrolled in school but not go to school, and the parents, you know, and there were lots of homeschool families that were just doing it completely off grid, but they were having a hard time. The reality is a lot of families need help educating their kids. They're not, you know, they're not teachers. That isn't their gifting. They don't want their kids in public school, of course. Because that's why they're homeschooling, but they don't necessarily know what they're doing either. You get someone like my wife, and there's lots of people out there like my wife who have this gifting, who have developed methods and who know the best curriculum and can navigate the waters of self-education. It can be very difficult and very frustrating. And a lot of these families were like so excited that she was, because she wanted to offer something to them. She wanted to create an education center that was free of masks, that was free of vaccine requirements, and free of state indoctrination. Okay, because you know she's a libertarian, you know, just like me, and so she conceived of this idea called Firefly, in order to help kids be lights in the darkness, because the country, the world is just full of this darkness that's spreading. This ideological nightmare that's happening, and really like just the breakdown of society.
Oh, I got and there.
So I'm listening to her talk about Firefly, and I said, okay, let's look at it. So we ran the numbers for what it would take to open a center and have it be a self-sustaining business in an area like ours, which we're pretty remote. And the numbers just weren't going to work, Ernie. Without getting outside funding to keep it rolling, you know, just on tuition and the programs we would offer, it just wasn't going to work. But as you know, I've been working with some folks down there in Arizona for a number of years on a number of different blockchain technology initiatives. And I said to her, what if we did it as a blockchain platform? Then it could become like self-sustaining. It could be decentralized, and you know, the Firefly chapters could pop up anywhere. We could provide a platform and guidance and curriculum and programs and community and connect all these homeschool families and groups all over the country, all over the world.
Okay, let's talk about that part of it. You know, there's been a joke the last few years. You know, you talk to a lot of the geek guys, and they'll go, we could do it. And right out of their mouth, they'll go, you don't need a blockchain for that. I mean, you know, it's like a T-shirt. You don't need a blockchain for that. Because everybody's going to do a blockchain. So give me the advantages and the benefits of blockchain technology in doing this education effort. You know, explain that part to me. You know, why does that benefit them? You know, how does that work?
Well, decentralized education, the concept of decentralized education, you know, it on a network is only possible with blockchain. You have people all over the world that want to connect to something, And but the only way for that, for like for teachers and content creators and students, quite frankly, to connect in a way where they're, where the content can't be taken down, where it can't be censored, there's a permanent historical record of all of the of all of the content, like that big tech would love to censor, that the state would love to censor. It'll all be permanently stored
in their permanent record. Okay,
permanent record, buddy. And also, we're doing this thing where we apportion large amounts of all of the income that comes into the platform to different liquidity pools to fund different aspects of the platform. One aspect would be helping new chapters to get funded in a similar model that Dash uses, mm-hmm. where people apply to start a new chapter somewhere. Let's say in, you know, San Diego, let's say there's like, you know, several thousand groups in San Diego that want to start some Firefly chapters. They can apply for funding, and funding would be voted on and then allocated to them to be able to get computers or to lease a building or whatever their needs would be that they would apply for. That's one. Another would be to reward students financially for doing well, for excelling in their studies, for mastering their subjects. And that kind of reward system would really only be possible with a blockchain system. And we would be allocating a portion of everything that came in to go back to the students when they do a good job. So, I mean, there's so much data on this, Ernie, about studies that have been done about financial incentivization with education. Because, right, you know, as it stands, you know, in the public school system, and I grew up in the public school system, I was raised by it, that, you know, what is my motivation here? Why am I sitting here for 8 hours, you know, memorizing all this nonsense? Like, what is the point? What am I really, really doing here? And you know, I'm a 13-year-old kid. Like, why do I care? You know, and be like, for some far off future that I can't connect to because I'm not mature enough to connect to it. I don't understand it. I'm just kind of going because I'm told I have to go. I don't have any real incentive other than not getting hassled or not getting bogged down with conversations about my effort. You know, like what is the point? And so we want to try to connect kids, like make the connection between hard work and reward early, you know, to create a new generations of entrepreneurs who understand that when I work, I get rewarded for it. When I accomplish something, I get rewarded.
Yeah, you know, I want to share the audience this technology, you know, makes this possible. It was Watch My Bit, Doug Scribner, you know, Doug Smoothie. He started this platform. It was kind of like a YouTube platform that you could you would pay your crypto in a QR code blip and it'd start playing, or you get 30 seconds free and then it would come up or whatever. But what was really interesting is whoever created the content, you know, the material that was there, the song that the band wrote, that kind of thing, is that the ability at the time to, when somebody purchased it or somebody rewarded it or incentivized anything, that you could have all these different accounts apportioned to, like, even the drummer got paid, you know, kind of thing. You know, so each one of the group, each, you know, producer, each manager, each content provider, each student had the ability to get their cut, you know, of whatever the incentive was. That technology to spend once, and they go out to 400, 500, 100 different incentives. That technology is amazing, right? You know, right there, you can see that the possibilities for any of this kind of stuff can be done. You meet the criteria, whatever it is, and then you get rewarded. And from one payment, it could be 100, you know, that go out, and it's all in the code, you know. So the fact that you can do this, this is a really good example of how that technology can be used to facilitate all kinds of incentives, you know? So I'm interested in that. That's one of the benefits of blockchain and crypto payments, micropayments and stuff like that. But, you know, the overall structure, when you talk about chapters, define a chapter. a chapter wants to do, you know, what's the benefit sure. of them being a chapter other than just wanting to have the same kind of criteria or what you want to accomplish? But what is that? I'm doing a chapter. I want to be Firefly chapter because they're what? Why am I doing that?
I want to be a Firefly chapter because, number one, I need I'm a homeschool dad. I'm doing this on my own, and I don't know what I'm doing. I need some guidance. I need some structure, because we did the unschooling thing for many years, and eventually you run into the wall where you need structure. You do. It can't all just be free form, because the kids really they won't learn as much as if they have some structure. They'll learn a lot, and they'll learn to love to learn. I highly encourage unschooling at early ages. But when they get to be about 7, 8 years old, they really are like all of our kids were begging for structure. They needed it to have a size and a shape. Okay. And let's say I don't know how to do that. Well, Firefly provides a vast amount of curriculum in a wide variety of subjects, not just the core subjects, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, geography, all that stuff. We're talking about anyone can create an educational course. I mean, like you, for example, you're the master of the domes. You know, you could teach a course on how to build domes. And when you upload that curriculum, you then are like, once you get approved, once your curriculum gets approved by the board, by the governing board, because all curriculum has to go through a scrutinization process to make sure that it's, you know, not off the wall crazy or has inappropriate content for kids.
I'm crazy.
Once your curriculum is approved, anytime someone interacts with your curriculum, you're getting paid. You know, and you know, let's say you offer your curriculum for $10. Well, what if 10,000 people all over the world watch it? You know, you're making a living now. Yeah. And there's tons and tons of teachers who are you're just making a mass exit from the public school system, but they need somewhere to go. They're looking for somewhere to go. Where can I use my skills? But back to your original question, why be a chapter? Because I'm getting guidance on how to navigate the homeschool regulations in my state. Or in my country. Where my kids are getting a better education than they're getting in public school. They're getting a wide variety of things that they're interested in, but also that they need. They're getting community, because there's a social component to this where chapters can contact each other, you know, and all over the world. You could have chapters competing on projects, collaborating on projects, working together. You could have a kid in kids in Singapore and Edinburgh and Los Angeles and in Buenos Aires, all working on the same project together, and you're building a global, I hate that word, but you're building a worldwide community and of people that are all kind of have a like mind in focusing on freedom. Because, you know, we were completely unapologetic about where our stand is. Like, the reason Firefly needs to exist is because of the perverse and dark ideological agenda, political agenda, that's being forced down tens of millions of children's brains in this country for the last few generations. But it's really ramped up under this administration that we're under right now, and it's just getting worse and worse. We have to do something to stem the tide of, you know, all of the isms that are coming up the pike, and most people in this country see it. They understand, you know, even people that are on the other side of this issue, they're leaving the areas that they've destroyed, trying to because they don't like it anymore. Well, yeah. You know, we have to do something. I have traced back every issue that you and I have ever talked about on this show or in person or anywhere. Every song I've ever written, every protest I've ever done, the reason for all of these issues that we have is state-controlled education. It's centralized education. Like, I could debate anyone.
That's hard to argue with, because damn. You know, and
it all comes there. So we have got to provide an alternative. And I'm heavily invested in this fight. I have 7 kids who are going to grow up in this, yeah. And I'm probably going to have a whole ton of grandkids who would grow up in it too.
Well, this is, you know, curriculum. Let's talk about the curriculum. When you say, you know, selected curriculum and you pick curriculum, and Mary got, you know, educated on all the options of curriculum and get curriculized. All right. So how is that determined? You know, it's not even what curriculum on a particular subject. It's even picking the subjects that they, and then age appropriate, and who gets to determine that? I mean, you know, it's just so all of this and participation of parents and how, you know, so curriculum. Talk to me about what is selected and how it's selected that you're encouraging each of these children to be exposed to. You know, how do you do that?
Well, one thing we're going to do is we're going to license some existing curriculum, because there's a lot of great curriculum out there. We don't need to reinvent the wheel necessarily right out of the gate, because it's like one of the ideas was that behind all this was that, you know, my wife, you know, and I know what some of the best curriculums are that are available, that don't have some weird dark agenda to them, and that reflect our values, and which are freedom and liberty. And so we're going to work with these companies and provide them with a whole new audience and a whole new revenue stream. Okay, so there's an incentive for curriculum companies to participate, because we're going to be funneling tons of people there.
That's one.
But original content outside of existing curriculum is open to anyone that would like to, that has a skill. You don't have to be a licensed teacher to teach something. You know, I'm not a licensed teacher, but I could teach you how to play the guitar. You know.
Yep.
I could teach you how to frame a wall, you know, if I was so inclined to make a course for that, and wanted to.
Yeah, you gotta have a Jack Black School of Rock of Jordan Page in the corner school band Kickass something.
That's a great example. The Jack Black School of Rock. I mean, let's say there's a Jack Black type out there, who wants to teach. Well, he or she could make a course. You know, and we will assist people in that too, and helping them with guidance and how to make a course. And I mean, like there's a lot here. There's even a space for childcare workers to find work on this platform by connecting with homeschool families. Because I'll tell you something, homeschool moms and dads need a break. You know, it ain't easy. I mean, like people don't realize, like, the state is a gigantic babysitter for your kids for, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And it can be for some people transitioning from the public school system to homeschooling, that can be pretty overwhelming. And people need, a lot of times they need help. And
we can
provide a place for childcare workers to find families to connect with.
Well, this isn't something that you're just now, you know, just all of a sudden going to, you know, like do. I mean, you've got 7 kids. So, there is a plan this fall. I mean, coming up here directly, like in a week or two or something, you guys are opening doors to, you know, bring it in, and we're doing it, you know, so explain that, you know, what is your facility there? Mary is going to be educating kids, you know, with this curriculum and so on. It's coming like now, you know, so go ahead and talk about that experience and where and how and your carpentry work.
so she's been actually doing this for a couple of years. And all last year, she was working out of a church, in a nearby town, that we were connected to. And she was running her program there, and she had about, I guess 19 kids. And we actually, she's like the old school schoolmistress who has the one room schoolhouse,
right,
and has kids from kindergarten through high school, yeah, all in the same building. And it was really cool, and it really worked. There's something about having all these different age groups together in the same building. There's something about it. I don't know. It just works.
You don't know something unless you can teach it. And if you have young people that learn something, then they teach your younger siblings or classmates and so on, then they know they've mastered it because they can help teach it. You know, there's
yeah,
there's a thing to that. And that's one thing I want to express my opinion on this. when you have a small community, you know, or you get some, you know, town leaders or families or whatever come together in the Lone Prairie of the West, a pioneer of something, you know, what happens? First thing you do, the businessmen, they, you know, they get the doctor's house. You know, they got to have a doctor. They got to have the schoolmistress or, you know, man or whatever, right? The little red brick house, they go, all right, we're going to have a teacher. We hire a teacher back east and put them on the train. They come out and, okay, and boom, you got a teacher. You got a doctor. You got the blacksmith. You got. And communities, one of the first things that they do is education of their children. So when you do that, you have – we our kids – our older, we have four kids. Our oldest one is third grade, and we just pulled them out of government school. Long story, just we're done. You know, I can see what they were doing way back then, you know, in the early 90s. And I go, nope. You know, we're done. So we pulled them out, homeschooled for a year, then did Montessori, and the way they did it, the government didn't like it. Then we had another charter school. But by then, they started going into junior high and high school, where a private school, we started them from 7th to 12th grade. All four of our kids went to, you know, Phoenix Christian Junior Senior High, okay? Well, that part experience with our friends from church and our friends and people that we knew on the board, the parents are the school administration. You got the money. It's like, the check will stop a coming, you know? You don't do your job right. You know, so the parents were in charge. They were the school administration. They were the boss. They were the, you know, like you would think that taxpayers were, and you vote in legislature. No, you're so far removed, there's no accountability, responsibility for how much they're screwing up your kid. They're just there to, you know, sell Coca-Cola in the machine at the cafeteria. I mean, you know, it's just amazing how bad it is. And that was, you know, in the 70s, my experience. And I'm just, you know, and it's gotten, oh my God, worse so much, enough that I pulled my kids out of government school. Tell you that.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity now that you have for anybody can do this. You know, we need to have some kind of guidance of what is happening, where and where we're going. But small community now, Jordan and his family live up itty bitty living space up in the prairie of the farmland of, you know, not that high a density of population. And the demand is there. So tell me about the demand. You know, Mary, you got a little nice big garage. You know, it's like a super right. classroom, you know. But the how many kids are coming in on this, and what are they joining? And what government, you know, stamp do they need or got to have or supposed to or whatever? Describe the experience of what you're offering and what Mary and your job's going to be starting like this week or next week or something, right? I mean, soon.
Yeah, it's the first week of September. So we lost our space. Because it was actually sold, and we, you know, we took a look at our shop. We have a 40x40 metal pole barn, insulated metal pole barn. It's a really nice building, and we took a look at it and said, "Well, we could just have it here, but we could, you know, finish this building, put some bathrooms in, you know, put a couple of walls up to separate, you know, my workshop area, you know, from the rest of the building." So we have a 30x40 space that. That we're currently renovating. It's because the construction zone right now, but it should be done by the time the kids get here. Mary's got about at least 26, 27 kids enrolled in the program that are coming. It's we look at it as the first Firefly chapter. Technically, these kids are part of the public schools program, but they don't go to school. They come here instead, so they're not having to wear masks. There isn't a vaccine component, and they can choose the majority of their own curriculum. I mean, like, you know, the reading, writing, arithmetic, they basically do like the school's reading, writing, arithmetic, but things like history and science, those types of courses, they can choose themselves. They can choose anything that they want. And Mary gives them guidance on that. And she's teaching from kindergarten all the way through 9th, 10th grade. I think 10th is as high as far as the students that are actually coming here is going to be. But she's got almost 30 students, and there might be a couple more coming in. We don't know. But we're providing a space, you know, a legit space for her to have a school.
Okay, I don't want to get in the middle of all your finances and so on, but if it's a state program, that means there's going to be state tax money funded something paycheck from the man. you know, for you guys providing their education, I'm sure it'll be better than whatever the hell they're doing. But, you know, it's going to be, there are some ties to this, to, you know, to the taxpayer money. You know, how does that work? And is the taxpayer saving money? You know, do you get half of what they would do at the public school or what? Why is the state doing this? Pissed off parents? I mean, what happened?
Okay, there's a lot of questions you just asked.
I know, man. Monologue me.
Okay. So I want to make a distinction between Firefly Education Network and what like and what we're building there, because it's not launched yet. We're currently building it, and we're on a path to getting fully funded to be able to get this done in less than a year. Like that is our goal. Just so the audience understands, Firefly Education Network is a homeschool platform built on blockchain technology that rewards people with cryptocurrency and connects people all over the world and gives them and helps them navigate the waters of self-education. That is one thing.
Because each state's different and stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, it is completely free of state funding. It is completely free of all of that. It is completely self-funded and is a business model where people buy, you know, tokens on the platform, spend them on the platform, and get rewarded with tokens, and then can cash them out. Okay, that is what we've been talking about. What we are currently doing in the meantime while we build that is, because our kids need to get educated and all of our friends in the area need to get it, their kids need to get educated, and they don't want the school system doing it. They want someone like my wife doing it, who, you know, is the teacher, and she's running the school. She is employed by the school district to do this program called HomeLink, which is, again, where homeschool kids, you know, are technically enrolled, and the state and the school system does get state funding per kid. It's not as much as if they were going to the school, but the school system does get funded, and that helps to fund, you know, the purchase of curriculum for the kids. They're not funding our project. We have self-funded this construction project and building this school space because it was just what we wanted to do. It was the right thing to do. And this is my wife's calling. And so we're paying for it. The state has had zero financial input in our operation here. We have done this on our own. But these kids, these kids would just be sitting at home otherwise. They're coming here. They're getting a classroom type experience without all the darkness of the public school agenda. Okay, they're getting interaction with other kids. They're getting personal attention from a great teacher.
Well, was this evolved from the lockdowns and so on? I mean, is that, you know, where the demand came from for, you know, Mary to educate their children, or was it more of an abandonment, you know, of the ideology of the government school system? I mean, where do you think the market, you know, came from for you guys to do this? Because, I mean,
yes,
that's a lot of
yes.
kids. You get 20, you know, hell, you get over, hell, you get seven, you know, kids in there, you know, teach me, it's a thing, you know. And how is their help or participation, their interns, some parents, you know, come in and, you know, monitor the hallway? I mean, what? You know, how does
there are parents who come in and help, and they help teach courses. There's one gal that's got her kid enrolled and was last year, and she's going to be teaching a sign language course to fulfill the language requirements. There's a teacher that was teaching a science curriculum. I mean, there's a lot of different parents have different strengths, and, you know, or maybe some of the moms might just come and just kind of be teaching aides, or just kind of be another adult in the room. I mean, Mary can handle it, you know? I mean, not everyone has that gift, right? I mean, 9 out of 10 parents out there don't have that gift to be able to teach a group of kids something. I'm one of those people. I am really good one-on-one teaching something. I'm really good maybe 1 on 3 or 4. But you get past 5 and 6, and there's all the little voices that want to be heard all at the same time, I get a little screwy, you know, and so, which is why I've really worked with our kids on waiting for your turn to speak, you know, not interrupting people when they're speaking, you know. But in a classroom environment, sometimes it just doesn't work that way, unless you're in the indoctrination camps where, you know, you get the smack on the wrist with the stick, or get sent to the principal's office if you, you know, have to go to the bathroom more than once in an hour.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, the answer to your question is yes, all of the above. The mandates, I think, really, really, really woke people up. When the vaccine mandate started spreading all over the country, people were like, oh, hell no, I woke up. Not my kid. And what Mary was offering was very exciting. I mean, we're still getting people inquiring, you know, even in just a couple of weeks leading up to school, who want to get their kids involved in what we're doing here.
Yeah, because otherwise, no, the small they're just community, be sitting at home. What's the age bracket? I mean, your kids span whatever anyway, but yeah. You got every grade seated already. But the population in the area here, I mean, the small town next to it is like, I don't know, 200 people, if that, you know. So, I mean, we're talking small. To have 20-something kids, 30 kids already, you know, standing in line to be, I mean, damn, that's a high percentage. That's an impact study. That's a red light on, you know, the status screen somewhere. You know, there has to be some kind of either support, concern, opposition. You know, that you're getting into all the political realm of you're starting to extract the children from the clutches of the mind cage that they've created. I'm going, somebody's going to notice, you know. And certainly if it's Jordan Page listening to any one of your songs, they're going, damn, man, they're getting edumacated on freedom and stuff. You know, this is it's not a bug, it's a feature, but, you know, some people don't like it. You know, so what's your opposition to this? Where's that coming from? That way we got Starlink freeze there for a little bit. And he's back. Okay. All right. Where's the opposition coming from? What do you think? You know, who would oppose this and why?
There is no opposition to what we're currently doing here because, you know, the school system gets something out of it. You know, they get funding, essentially, from all the kids that get enrolled. You know, eventually, you know, Firefly as the platform will be an alternative to the public school system. And that's where we anticipate we'll have some resistance, you know. But ultimately, like, they've shot themselves in the foot by pushing, trying to push people down a road where you can, you know, you have some idiot telling their kids that boys can be girls and girls can be boys, you know, or that, you know, the color of your skin means you're a racist. You know, I mean, like that kind of stuff is just like people have had enough of that. They're done with that. They're done acquiescing to that. And they like, if you want that, I'll say this. If you really want that, your kids to learn that kind of stuff, there's a place where they can go. It's called public school. That is the agenda. And if that's where you're coming from, fine. Send your kids there. But if you don't want your kids learning that stuff, if that does not reflect your values, there needs to be a viable alternative for you to do it yourself, but where you're not all alone, you know. And I can connect with Firefly. I can connect with other homeschool families in my area. It doesn't all have to be online and just courses online. We're trying to foster a homeschool, like a liberty-minded homeschool community all over the world, but especially locally, because that's where everything that matters really happens, mm-hmm. is local. If there are 25 other families who feel the same way that we do, and they're within a 20-minute, 30-minute drive from our house, well, then why aren't we getting together? Because we don't know each other. And Firefly is a way to connect us. So now we're meeting in person. We're meeting online. Hell, we're meeting in the metaverse. We have our first headquarters in the Uplift world in the metaverse. It's a digital, virtual building. It's like a giant Hogwarts looking castle with our Firefly logo like up at the top of the building, like King Kong on the top of the building. And that'll be a place when kids are in that metaverse world doing what they do, they can take classes in there and they can be earning cryptocurrency from our platform. And actually in Uplift you can earn two other cryptos too. They have Upliftium and they have Wax, which are two different cryptos. Like, you can actually be earning three different types of cryptocurrency just by being in that building and taking some classes.
Okay, explain. So, to I saw that in your intro sheet about creating a space in the metaverse. Now, the metaverse, we're talking Facebook, right? I mean, it's not like another.
We're not talking about Facebook. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because is a very common misconception, but it is absolutely untrue. Mark Zuckerberg recognized that the metaverse is this huge thing that has yet to become super huge, but it's going to be. It, you know, Ready Player One. If you haven't seen that movie, that's where we're heading.
VR, okay,
yeah. A digital world where people live their lives and it's super realistic, and you know, like you can do anything your imagination could think of. You can be a bear on roller skates with axes for hands, you know, fighting, you know, I don't know, Minecraft people, whatever. You, like, eventually, like, half the world is going to be on the metaverse. So he changed the name of the company to Meta to try to cash in on that branding. But all Facebook has is one virtual world on the metaverse. The metaverse has existed for a while. It's just now catching up that people like have heard of it now. Okay. There were years people were trying to get me to join this thing called Second Life. And I was just like, why the hell would I do that? What a waste of my time. But that particular thing was like a social networking thing with avatars, but it was a metaverse world. Well, new metaverse worlds are popping up all the time. They are not on a Facebook platform. Facebook simply has one of many that are out there. And Uplift is one that's built on the Minecraft server. I know you've all heard of Minecraft, this game that everyone, like, you know, kids are just obsessed with, where they can build stuff and it's all like Legos, you know, and they have these little blockhead avatars. And, you know, it's Uplift was built on that server. And so people can get in there, they can buy virtual real estate and they can build whatever crazy cockamamie type structures that they want. And but you can actually host businesses there.
Really? So businesses that are based on what? You know, and the platform gets what cut? And how, and what is the limitations that can be on there? I lost him. He's froze up again. Come on, Starlink. Dit. Jordan. Wow, that's a long one. All right, there you go.
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on with my internet. I apologize.
Well, it might
be mine. I could have any business in there, and think of it as a three-dimensional website for my business. You know, if I have a business and I sell lumber, I could have the same business present in the metaverse where people could order my lumber, you know, in my digital three-dimensional website, which is my building there.
Okay, you know, so we're talking about
a 3D website where people, the same thing that kids are doing in the two-dimensional website with Firefly, they can do in a three-dimensional world where they're exploring the buildings and going into classrooms and interacting with each other at recess and blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing, just three-dimensional in a virtual environment.
You know, this is how I imagined the internet was going to be when it first really started getting going in the 90s when we were doing, it's a virtual mall. And in my head, I was thinking, all right, I'm going to go onto this website and I'll look on the left side over here and there'll be store, you know, branding, opening shops. You walk in and then you look around and browse, you know, what goods and services they have available. And you walk out on the sidewalk, you go down the street, you go, no, oh, you see this, you know, shiny object on the across the street. You go, it'd be like Free Guy or something, right? So that's how I imagined it in my head that the internet was going to be. When you go shopping, you went shopping. You could actually touchy-feely see, turn, look at something. So it'd be like a 3D on the street Amazon or something like that, which is where this is all going. Because that's what we imagine. That's a, you know, even a tactile, gloves, you know, kind of feeling the different stuff. You know, this is how they're going to suck us in, the virtual reality. You know, this, and there's, it's, and I'm with you, man. It's going to happen. You know,
it's going to happen. And if, you know, I make the argument, if the Chinese Communist Party has a digital space in the metaverse, then we need to have one too. I'm sorry. We need to have a presence there. Like the spirit of liberty and quite frankly, the spirit of God needs to be present there. There needs to be something good happening there, not just self-indulgent, hedonistic, you know, statist nonsense. There has to be something else there. So we're going to have a presence. If, you know, and I mean, anywhere that people are going to be, we need to have a presence there. And that is our motivation for having Metaverse headquarters in these different worlds.
Jesus went to the brothels. Target-rich environment.
He sure did.
You know,
go where the people are. And that's where the people are. There's tens of millions of people in these Metaverse worlds. You know, and we are aiming to be the first education, you know, platform on the Metaverse.
You know, I see the potential. I'm glad that we've, you know, got a dose of it early on, and from someone, you know, a family like yours doing this and being an example of this. You know, I certainly wish all the luck, and definitely want to know as it develops how this fireflyedu.org. You know, so it's amazing. You look for things like this to happen. You know, when you're an activist, you're raising children, you get grandchildren, I go, someday somebody's got to do what you're doing. Someday somebody's going to do what you're doing. And then somebody's going to go, ah, they're doing it, so we got to counter it and have our Luciferian, you know, competing, you know, soccer team in the Metaverse. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, so we got to be attuned to that. We got to be warned by that. Corbett and I did a couple weeks ago, we did a show on his media thing. And the point that he was making, he goes, the media is the message. You know, the mechanism is the message, not what's in the curriculum. It is the method by which it's delivered is the risk. So the Metaverse itself is the desirability, the incentives for them to use this type of technology to get their education. Where are the threats? You know, what should we, you know, new parents be looking out for? It's not just throw them on the internet. Yeah, here's your AOL account. Have fun. I mean, you know, it's much more powerful than that. So I just need to know, you know, what are you looking at as a potential risk in this Metaverse experience? And
As a parent, for my own kids, the obvious thing is predators, people that are in these worlds trying to groom children. I mean, like, you know, there's a cure for that. It's, you know, it's a 45 caliber bullet. So, you know, I'm like as a dad, like that is my main concern with my kids interacting with the internet at all, and they have, you know, they use the internet in a very limited capacity to limit any stranger's ability to contact them in any way. And in the Metaverse, that is probably even more of a risk. So at any Firefly center in any Metaverse world, you would have to be a registered member of the community. It's a membership-based organization. That's one way that we, you know, don't have to be registered as technically as a school, because we're not technically a school. We're a community platform that provides these services. And
let's talk about that a second. You choose, you know, we made a big deal out of private membership associations in our last newspaper that we did. It was number one story. And then the next one was food. You know, I'm going, this is going to be a food thing. But, you know, the lockdowns were able to be done because you're kind of licensed by the government. You got a guy with a clipboard and, you know, a shiny badge showing up. I'm from the county of you're not allowed to be open because I said, you know, kind of thing. And the only ones that survived and the ones that stayed open and the ones that ignored them, the ones that had some legal protection with precedence, was private membership associations. They just go, look, we're a private club. You don't have any jurisdiction here. We're not open to the public. Now, I've seen a lot of bars, they would come in and they go, all right, for a dollar, you get your little ID paper thing. All right, I'm part of the club. Well, yeah, but cost you a dollar. All right, fine, I'm in the club. I saved, you know, it's like Sam's Club. You saved, you know, the dollar on your first purchase kind of thing. So this private membership association, your experience in going that route You know, I think that's important to explain to the people what that means and the benefits and how you're using it. Go ahead and do that, please.
Well, I think you just explained it all. I mean, it's like this is not a, again, this is not a taxpayer funded initiative. This is a, consider it a for profit enterprise, but it is a private membership based organization. People, you know, pay to be members of it, but the fee that you pay goes toward your curriculum and goes towards being able to participate in the system. You are not subject to all of the member of this. This is self-directed education. We will help, you know, there'll be a component in there basically to help parents navigate what, you know, they, them, those want, the rules that they want you to follow to the best of your ability. But they're not, this is not like a public school that taxpayer funds are being allocated towards. The people that are members of it are allocating funds toward the running of the program.
Yeah, the people are the administration. You know,
the people are the administration. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we will have a model where, you know, the consortium of token holders and people that are members can, there'll be certain things that they can vote on and they can have impact in helping to shape it. In fact, like what we're doing right now is I'm sure you've talked about NFTs on your program, non-fungible tokens. They're these, you know, like crypto assets that are unique, that are one of a kind, like works of art. A lot of people aren't into it, but it's a worldwide thing. It's a huge thing. We're taking NFTs to a whole other level by making them functional components on the platform that open doors and unlock things. Owning Firefly NFTs actually enhances the user experience on the platform. So we're actually doing a founders NFT right now as we're beginning. And this is a fundraising tool, but it's also a platform shaping tool, because anybody that owns a founders NFT gets first access to everything, and they can give their feedback and help to shape the platform in its most early stages. So if you go to the website at Firefly.edu.org, click on the NFT tab, and you can see how you can participate by getting a founders NFT. And those are that's the current thing that we're doing.
You know, that's one thing I saw that on here, you know, the Firefly NFT community. I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to get to that, because this technology allows for your digital unique identifier token of whatever that is, your private membership association ticket, you know. Or it could be, like you say, unlocks other resources. This is, do you think, as this technology goes and we have blockchain maturing, because it's always like a decade. It's like somebody, you know, sitting there hard at work for 10,000 hours. You know, that's, you know, the outlier, Malcolm Gladwell's, you know, books and so on.
I read the book.
Yeah.
I read that book.
And that was one thing, you know, he was going on about the outliers, you know, the people that are the violinists, the great, you know, Jordan Page guitar players. I'm sure you had your 10,000 hours in, you know, at a young age. But, you know, it takes that 10,000 hour thing. So as time goes on, you get like a decade goes by, and you'll have, you know, people using this technology to do all kinds of stuff, like what you're talking about. So I'm seeing the future is going to embrace. Do you think the bad guys are already, the NFT, you know, stuff, the bad guy, ooh, man, they're in front, you know, row, we're going to do it? Or does freedom always get there first? And then we got to, you know, plant a really solid foundation for, you know, Firefly Hogwarts, you know, and then you have.
I believe in the Ernest Hancock model, where you just do things.
Just do
you know,
stuff.
Honestly, you were, and I'm not going to just toot your horn here. I am being genuine with you, you know. You know me, and I, you know, you're a very important person in my life. But, you know, the way that you do things, where instead of just doing one thing, you do something that will replicate itself. That played into my concept for this platform. I took Mary's original concept for Firefly and what we wanted to accomplish with it, and providing an alternative to what the public school is doing, and apply that to a blockchain platform because it could be self-replicating, because it could spread and grow just organically. And just the Ernest Hancock method over the years, I've seen you do things where it isn't just about that moment. It's about what that moment will then inspire and spread and create more things.
Right.
And blockchain can do that for education. I mean, talk about 10 years. As you were talking, I was like, well, you know, the first 10 years of Bitcoin changed the world. It went from 33 cents when I first heard about it to like $50,000. It's the most valuable currency in the world. It's like a $3 trillion, you know, global market cap. You know, like, I mean, it certainly fluctuates and it's had some volatility. But my God, you know, like what an asset to have to hold on to. And cryptocurrency, I think, really is going to be the future. And we've been moving towards that. Like, the state has been trying to move us towards that with their centralized system. But the decentralized system means freedom for people. They can be their own banks. So we apply the same model to education and we get an education economy, a decentralized education economy.
Whoa.
where it means something to be part of something like Firefly because you're earning a living. If you're a teacher who's been displaced by the agenda, you have somewhere where you can go use your talents and skills and education and earn a living doing what you do.
Okay, whoa, you know, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, hold another blow my mind concept here. By creating fireflyedu.org, you not only have given homeschoolers an opportunity to have access to resources that they normally wouldn't have. Because, you know, my oldest daughter, Rhea, she's homeschooled her two children, and they are 10 and 8, I think. And she's been homeschooling them for years. I don't even know if they ever even went to school. You know, a government school. Then when the pandemic hit, my daughter-in-law, Laura, our four children she has, they homeschool for over a year. Then they stopped the masks and the mandates and they let them go back, you know, to school. But, you know, it's all, they're happy with their school. It's a legacy kind of school thing. But they just, nope, we're not doing the mask and the vaccine. That ain't happening, you know. So they, you know, took them out. Same thing with their soccer teams. Nope, we're not. They're not running around out in the field in the heat of Phoenix and wearing a mask on. No, that's just stupid. You know, we're not doing that. And then they have, you know, such popular soccer players. They go, okay, well, we'll kind of fudge on that, and we won't require it. You know, because the parents push back so much. All right, they can play soccer without a mask. Stupidity. I mean, you know, it's just dumb. So.
Playing soccer wearing masks.
It's just in Phoenix. Yeah. And it's just in the summer. It's just the stupidest thing of stupid. That's just stupid. You know, I mean,
sad.
That's a whole other so class sad. Of stupid. You know, so yeah. This has been a free market result. A lot of this is just people, we're not playing. You know, we're doing alternatives. We're opening our restaurant as a private membership association. We're starting our own homeschool, you know, co-op group of we doing whatever, of which my oldest daughter was the head of her co-op. And, you know, she took over the responsibilities of, you know, setting up field trips and doing all. They do some cool stuff. I was like, hey, man, I wish I'd had that option in school when I was a kid, getting to go to the factories of, you know, actual sea of doing, you know, context of what the hell's going on. So this is, I see the future of this coming. The technology that supports it replicates. See, I can't change the world, but I can inspire other people to help change their own lives, and then the world gets changed just by inspiration, showing that it can be done, showing why it needs to be. Nobody ever does why anymore. When I first started doing radio in 03, you know, that was my whole big thing. I go, why? I'll interview someone, a politician or something, and I'd warn them. I go, at appropriate times, I'm going to ask you three times, why? He'll go, blah, 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 about this, and we got in the children's. I go, why? Well, because whatever's on their 3x5 card, you know, the lobbyist gave them, right? So they do that, and I go, okay. Right. And they explain that. I go, okay, why? I know. Well, they got like a counter. And then by the third why, they don't know. They have no origination story. There was no epiphany. There was no something that happened to them. There was no experience. It was just an issue that they thought was important, and they framed it in a campaign speech of they don't care, you know? So three wise at the right time, and you find out what the real agenda is, or at least that if they even have one, you know? So this is important to me because I can see the inspiration that doing what you're doing in the place at the time that you're doing it and the method has the ability to replicate quickly, because I saw it happen in my family when they started doing the lockdowns and the masks and the mandates and all that. Oh, our kid, and we're done. Not doing it.
And that's not going away anytime soon. I mean, people like the squeeze right. and release policy that the state has, you know, they've only had a couple of squeezes. They love how that feels to just to squeeze people. So that's not going to go away. I don't care who's in the White House. You know, the agenda transcends the White House. So, you know, we have to build this thing in order to provide an alternative to what's going on. And the more people that join it, the more lucrative it is for the people that are part of it, you know, and the kids are getting educated. They'll be getting a great education, quite frankly. And we'll be raising a new generations of entrepreneurs. Where's entrepreneurism gone? You know, I mean, like where have all the men and women gone? You know, like this is we're living in a very clownish world, and that can be directly traced to the fact that the state has an apparatus to indoctrinate. And I don't use that term lightly, because indoctrination implies accepting a belief system without any critical thinking, without any questioning. That's what indoctrination implies. And we're going to be teaching people to question. You know, we're going to have a focus on civics and liberty on the Firefly platform. We're going to be very unapologetic about these things. If you want that stuff, you know where you can go. But if you don't want that for yourself or your kids, you know, you can come to us. And eventually, Ernie, like, our long-term vision is Firefly University, to be able to have people go through the program and, you know, end up, you know, taking, you know, adult courses too. I mean, I'm very interested in autonomy. You know, Richard Grove's a good friend. You know, you mentioned Lawrence Driggs earlier. He's a good friend. And I really love what they're doing with young adults in autonomy and helping them to unlearn all the nonsense that they've learned. Well, what if we could funnel people into a program like that? You know, where they get that business, those business skills and organizational team building skills, you know, and as they further their education. I think there's a really great synergy there. We've talked about that. So I'm not saying that that's a done deal or anything. I'm just saying it's something that's certainly on my mind. And as a well, what next after you graduate, you know, from the Firefly program, like, you know, then what? So we are looking already, even before it's launched, we're looking at what the next step
is. You know, this is one thing I share this with the audience. In the 90s, when we were first sending our children go to school and all that kind of stuff, the news was, and this is before the internet, you know, got it going, the news was all of these homeschool kids that were winning all the spelling bees. You know, you go to spelling bees, you know, go, you know, supercalifragilistic expialidocious, spell that, you know. So they start, you know, doe, a deer, a female. Anyway, they have, you know, how they remember whatever, right? So they were starting to say that homeschoolers couldn't go in the spelling bees. They were trying to exclude them because it wasn't fair. They were, you know, they're to exclusion of all, they're doing too well. They're too smart. The math this, the science that, the homeschool, they're right. Winning. It's not allowed, you know? So I, you always see where you have parents and people and communities involved. And a lot of times it was churches. They have their own schools and so on. Well, when you're doing that, you have an advantage in a lot of ways. But the big thing is there's opposition to excelling. You know, people that are smarter, wiser, more capable, you know, they don't like it. You know, it's like, nah, you're not, you got the crab's got to pull you back into the bucket, okay? You're not allowed to escape. there's going to be opposition to your success. And this is going to happen, you know, on so many levels. And whenever they squeeze the star system, more, you know, systems escape from the clutches of their fist kind of thing, you know. Well, this is another squeeze on the system. It is a free market solution to what's happening with our children. And Jordan and Mary got seven a day own. And now they got two or three times that of people that want them to help educate their children. And I'm sure there's, you know, a list of a little bit of responsibility, like get them there on time, don't be buttheads, and, you know, they got to help do something. You know, before we go, I wanted you to kind of give what's the responsibility of the parents, because they're used to just delegating authority over to this Uncle Sam, you know, with, you know, death eyes, you know, to raise their children. And I'm going, yeah, that's a bad idea. But if they don't learn that they got to take responsibility, use you as a resource, and just trying to dump their kids off on you, it's really probably not going to be a whole lot better result. You know, what you're getting is a cream of the parenting crop that even want to make sure that their kids get an education and not a government indoctrination. So what is the responsibility of the parents and the students when they come to your curriculum and what you're doing? Describe that real quick.
Well, people are, and that is not an exaggeration, by the millions.
You cut out a little bit. People are what?
Oh, sorry. People are leaving the public school system by the millions in the last, like, 2 years. Yep. It has been by the millions. And
ah, dang it, you cut out again. I wanted to share this with the audience while you're coming back. Yeah, there you are.
Sorry.
There was a – well, it could be me. I mean, you know, whatever. But there was we were in Spokane. And we had to go pick up some. Don and I took a day off for our 38th wedding anniversary. Woohoo!
So congratulations.
Thank you. So we there was a newspaper, you know, one of the periodical weeklies sitting out in front of the one of the restaurants we went to. So we're in the Mexican restaurant. We're chilling. You know, what's up? Go out. And there it was, a tabloid newspaper. And the cover story was on the children aren't coming back to government schools. They opened it up. They're like, there's nobody there. You know, that's if they can even find a teacher to teach them to begin with. So they still got big classrooms, hardly any teachers, and not that many full classrooms. So they're going, damn, it's like in various counties around here and so on, that people aren't sending their kids back to school. They're, man, we're done. We're not going through this again. So people are making the decision right now, and it's hitting the news, and they, them, those know what's going on. So,
but a lot of them are having a rude awakening. When that happens, a lot of parents are realizing, oh, snap, I don't know how to do this.
And what's their responsibility other than knowing they need to do something else?
Well, they know they need to do something else, but a lot of times it is a trial by fire. It's very it's very difficult to get going and to find your stride. And that's what we're trying to provide. We are let me say this very clearly. Firefly is not a substitute for the parent who is the primary educator. The parents should always be primary educators of their children, always, in every situation. Like the state should not be raising your children. You should be raising your children. You should be educating them. We are not taking that place. We are just providing the tools, resources, and community and incentives to help you to raise your children, to help with not to raise and educate your kids. I mean, like this is like it's a community platform, decentralized, can't be censored, can't be taken down, where you can connect with other like-minded people, and we can create an economy of like a freedom economy, a freedom education economy,
as part of a free society that's coming. You know, that these alternatives.
But not just here in the U.S., all over the world. We need to spread this idea of liberty all over the world. Well, how do you do that? How are they spreading the ideology of slavery all over the world?
Right.
Education. Right. It's always education. So we have to have a way to reach anybody, anywhere, anytime.
But the one thing that I want, before we go, you know, we got Paul Rosenberg is coming up next in a little bit. You know, we may have him say hey here real quick, but, you know, hold on. This is the a manifestation of freedom comes in so many different ways, in opposition to tyranny and oppression and so on. A lot of your songs, you know. So I'm happy to see this represent what can be done, what's coming, and what alternatives families have, because I saw it in my own family, to where all of a sudden mandates and masks and shots and did that. Nope, hell no, this is where I draw the line. My children, no. And that was one thing, you know, that they always ask me, you know, well, when are you going to, you know, rise up and so on? And I go, well, I got a third one added to it now. You know, one, you know, when they go door-to-door gun confiscation, you know, and it's over then, man. They're, you know, that's, you know, here we go. You got to have some kinetic opposition. The other thing was, is when they come into my home, drag out my sons and take them off to some war. You know, we're going to draft. Mm-hmm. We got some sand heap we got to go defend to something, right? You know, Ukraine needs, you know, more their borders defended as opposed to us, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm going, no, you're not taking my, no, that ain't happening. Then we got inundated with this concept of you must get a shot. We're going to take notions and potions from the crown and stick them into your kid. Well, let me add that to the list. That ain't happening, you know. So the alternatives, freedom always has alternatives, and some people on the bleeding edge of offering an alternative to turning over your children's education to the state. And it's not just that Jordan and Mary, you know, are invested, they got seven kids, you know, but they're actually doing it. Like next week it starts, and last year, you know, Mary has been doing this, got her master's, whatever, you know, fill out, you know, whatever criteria, but they're doing it. They are educating 20-whatever children now. You know, here it comes. Then creating the curriculum and the foundation for other people not have to go through the brain damage that we all did over the last couple of years. You know, my family, you know, the girls, they went and found the curriculum. Then, you know, her sister-in-law adopted that, and they started doing that. And then, you know, another child did. And then, you know, it's got, you know, and it happens. The free market, certainly when you have a desire not to be freaking indoctrinated or have brain dead children, you know, this is, and a lot of that brain dead comes from vaccines, I'll just tell you that. Stop that, that's the first thing.
For
but
sure.
The you know, so this has been an answer to a lot of the questions of what do we do now. Fireflyedu.org. You know, there's so much other stuff that Jordan and I can talk about, but I'm glad we got to talk about this, and we'll be checking in. I want to, you know, it'll be like end of the first, you know, semester, you know, by Christmas, we may have another conversation. And, you know, in the spring, another conversation. How's it going? Where's the opposition? What does the shiny badge have to say? You know, well, we're going to find out. Jordan Page, anything else? Give out a web page of whatever you want to promote, man.
Well, yeah, fireflyedu.org is our current site where you can learn about what we're doing and you can participate with our NFT program. you know, my music website, as always, is jordanpage.net, and got a lot of good stuff coming down the pike that I'll keep for our next conversation. But this is our big project, and that we're working on, and just appreciate everyone's support and your prayers, and we'll see you next time.
Jordan Page, thank you very much. We are inspired. I knew you would. Hayes, right, coming up on the stream right now, in just a few moments, I'll leave the stream going, and we'll start another show. It'll be Paul Rosenberg. We'll be right back. Hayes.